You're listening to the Sunday podcast brought to you by LifeTeen.com, a reflection on the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
Well, this week we're taking a look at the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And for any of you listening in America, any of you Americans abroad, this week we celebrate our independence. So we pause for a moment to thank all those who have offered their lives to ensure our independence. And we pray for our country, for our leaders, that they would obviously honor the Lord in all of their decisions and in the way they live their life. Our first reading from Isaiah chapter 66, verses 10 through 14. Our psalm response from Psalm 66, verses 1 through 7, and then verses 16 and 20. Our second reading, once again, from Galatians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. And our gospel from St. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, and verses 17 through 20. Do you have an intimate relationship with God? I don't mean, do you know a lot of facts about God theologically? I don't mean, do you know a lot of scripture verses like the back of your hand, or have you memorized the catechism? Do you have an intimate relationship with your Father, with God your Father, the Father of the universe? Do you have an intimate relationship with your Savior, my Savior, Jesus Christ? Do you have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit? And my brothers, my sisters, if we do not have an intimate relationship, then the phrasing and the wording of this first reading are not going to hit us the same way. If we do not have an intimate relationship, then the second reading is just going to sound kind of like a legalist ritual. If we don't have an intimate relationship, we are not going to understand the depth of what Jesus is saying in the gospel this week. And we're certainly not going to understand why the psalm is crying out to God with joy. You see, in this first reading, we're going to have this comparison of God to a mother who nurses her children, okay? Now, for a lot of people who don't have kids, if you've ever been in public and maybe a mom starts nursing, that can be an awkward moment, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to look the other way, what do I do? But for anybody listening to this who's a mother or who's a parent, they understand that there's something beautiful and something natural about the way God creates us, and that there's an intimacy that exists between a child and his or her mother, a child and her parents or his parents, because there is that intimate connection. This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, blood of my blood. You know, there's something special that exists between a parent and their child. And in this first reading, as God is using this imagery, he's trying to explain to us the way that he loves us. He's saying, rejoice, be glad, all you who love her, exalt with her, although you may suck fully of the milk of her comfort, that you may nurse with the light of her abundant breast. For thus says the Lord, lo, I will spread a prosperity over her like a river. And this is where a lot of people, if you don't have that intimate relationship with God, people kind of start to shift in their pews a little bit, and they start to look around, and they're saying, oh, this is really uncomfortable. No, it's not. Not if you are seeking a deeper intimacy with God, that God will care for us like a parent. God will provide for us. God is parent, God is provider, okay, and God is gentle, and God is beautiful, and God is our lover, and he wants to provide for us, he wants to take care of us, and we are children, we are needy. Even though we're celebrating in America our independence, we are dependent on God, and we ought to be dependent on God, and that is okay, because God knows us intimately, God formed us in our mother's womb, that the Lord knows everything about us, and we should seek to know more about him, but it has to do with that intimacy. And part of that intimacy is realizing that we have a God who was crucified for us. We have a God who died for us, and intimacy can come out of that. In this second reading, St. Paul, you know, a lot of people have been following St. Paul for a while now, and a lot of people praise St. Paul, and they affirm him, and they follow him around, and they read his writings. And he goes on to tell people in Galatia, look, I don't want to boast. I have nothing to boast about except the cross of Christ, okay? That I bear the marks of Christ. And when he's saying that, he's saying not only does he bear the marks physically because he's been beaten and shipwrecked and he's been, you know, stoned almost to death, and he's escaped death, he's been imprisoned, and not only is he saying it in that way, but he's bearing the sufferings of Christ, okay, that it's really not about him, it's about Jesus. See, here's somebody who knew Christ intimately, and he's trying to share that intimacy and to say, look, the more you get to know Christ, okay, the more you get to know on these deeper levels, it's not just about claiming his name, speaking in his name, getting attention in his name, it's about him. And he had to be very careful about how he explained this to the early churches, because a lot of people, you know, once Christ had left and risen and ascended, they were looking for those visible leaders, which God had given them. But he was always careful to point the attention and the glory back to Christ and not to accept it himself. And as you get to this gospel reading, this is an important reminder. At this is the point where Jesus appoints 72 people to go out in pairs in his name, and he sends them out to the towns to bring the gospel. And as they're doing this, he's saying, hey, you know what? You have to understand something. When you go into these places, you know, you're going to be carrying my power with you, speaking in my name, my authority. And it would have been very easy for these guys to fall into that same trap that St. Paul was sort of warning against, okay, to accept the glory and the affirmation for themselves and not to point it back to God. And here's what's interesting in the gospel. When they come back to Jesus, they say, Lord, even the demons were subject to us because of your name. You see, it was only when they invoked Christ's name, when they pointed back to Christ, that there was power. If they just would have done their own thing, it wouldn't have mattered. If it was all about them, they wouldn't have had the power. But they said, even the demons are subject to us because of your name. And this is the really, really important part of the gospel. Jesus looks back and says to them, don't rejoice because of what happens. Don't rejoice because of the ministry that you're doing through your hands in my name. Don't rejoice because of all the things you're seeing, although that's all great. Don't rejoice because of the power you have in my name. Rejoice because God knows your name. And this is really important, especially for all of you that are in ministry, for all of you that spend a lot of time at the church, spend a lot of time doing great things for God. And yes, God appreciates all the ways we try to build his kingdom. But this is a great reminder. We shouldn't rejoice because of the way people look at us, because, you know, we minister in God's name or because we speak in God's name. We shouldn't rejoice because of all the great ministry that happens that we're involved with. We should rejoice because God knows our name. Because he's carved it in his hand, because he's written it in the book in heaven, because God knows us intimately, and because God wants to know us intimately. That's the reason to rejoice, that the God of the universe wants to know us intimately, that he wanted to die so that we would not, that he wants to hold us close to him as a mother holds her child, as a father holds his son, that God wants that intimacy with us, that he desires that. And the fact that he desires that intimacy from imperfect people like us, that should make us rejoice. And the fact that he would entrust his mission of building the kingdom on earth to imperfect people like us, well, that should leave us absolutely speechless. But that wouldn't really build the kingdom, would it? We have to build the kingdom in word and in deed. This week, lean into the God who loves you intimately and see the way he builds the kingdom through that love. May he bless you this week.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.